two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is now 5 o'clock. Today is Thursday. It is the 23rd of September. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now, downtown, 55 degrees.
Well, looks like we got a nice start to the drive. No construction or crashes. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Our top story this hour, a candlelight vigil for Gabby Petito was held in Salt Lake City last night.
KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt was there in Sugar House Park, and he begins our team coverage.
The disappearance and murder of Gabby Petito has struck a chord with the country, including right here in Utah.
I just felt touched, and I felt like I needed to do something and get the community together.
26-year-old Serena Chavez organized this vigil at Sugar House Park by creating an event on Facebook, and she got a big response. For Chavez, this is about celebrating Gabby's life and raising awareness about other missing women.
Having a moment of silence for Gabby and a lot of other people, a lot of other women who are missing or in her parents' shoes.
She says she wants women to know it's okay to ask for help and to leave toxic relationships. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
If you or someone you know are experiencing domestic abuse, help is available on the Utah Domestic Violence Link Line. The number is 1-800-897-5465.
The Petito case continues to dominate national headlines, and one mother is connecting this to her daughter's murder. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards continues our live team coverage. Mary?
Tim, experts and others are all weighing in for different media channels and websites on their ideas on this case. A forensic pathologist told Fox News that officials might not realize the cause of Gabby Petito's death because it could hurt the investigation. A missing persons expert told CNN he's not sure if Brian Laundrie's Florida timeline adds up, whether he's even in that nature reserve at all. A dive team was involved yesterday. And Jill McCluskey tweeted last night, her criticism of police. She says they don't believe women. Her daughter, Lauren McCluskey, was murdered at the University of Utah in 2018. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
The search for Brian Laundrie continues today in a nature preserve in Florida. Former FBI profiler Mary Ellen O'Toole says Laundrie cannot hide forever if he's out there in the woods.
If he is still alive, eventually he will have to seek some kind of help, whether he goes back to his family, whether he goes to a cabin that's located in the area.
Laundrie remains the only person of interest in the Gabby Petito homicide case.
In other news this morning, a new treatment center for COVID-19 patients using monoclonal antibodies could help a lot of Utahns stay out of the hospital. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with the details. Heather?
Well, Tim, the therapy uses laboratory-created clones of virus-fighting antibodies to fight COVID. The new center at the Intermountain Healthcare Employee Services Center can treat 50 people a day. Utah State Senate President Stuart Adams tells KSL TV they've been trying to make this treatment more available.
We saw the fact that the hospitals could do the infusions, but they didn't know who actually qualified for the treatments. And they talked to the health departments, and they were doing contact tracing, and they knew who qualified, but they couldn't do the infusions. So we married the two together.
The monoclonal antibodies have been used since November of 2020 to reduce hospitalization stays, but doctors are concerned about promoting a very expensive treatment over a free vaccine, which could keep you from even needing to go to the hospital. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Major developments on the COVID-19 vaccine front. As the FDA announced last night, they will grant emergency authorization for booster shots to high-risk individuals. But who does that include, and when will the boosters be available? We get more from correspondent Jeff McKay.
The FDA says people 65 and older, people at high risk of severe disease, and frontline workers whose job puts them at risk for infection will be able to get the Pfizer booster shot. Last week, government vaccine advisors unanimously recommended emergency use authorization for a booster dose of the Pfizer vaccine for people 65 and older and for those at risk of severe disease to be 6 months after they get the first two doses. Third doses are already approved for certain immunocompromised people, but not for the general public. Moderna has asked the FDA to approve booster shots for its vaccine, but the FDA so far has only considered Pfizer's bid. Johnson & Johnson released partial data this week. It said it showed a booster dose generally raised immunity, but the company has yet to apply with the FDA to consider a booster vaccine dose. In its statement, the FDA said, "This pandemic is dynamic and evolving, with new data about vaccine safety and effectiveness becoming available every day. As we learn more about the safety and effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines, including the use of the booster dose, we will continue to evaluate the rapidly changing science and keep the public informed." I'm Jeff McKay in Washington.
The Department of Homeland Security is looking at new options as they continue to struggle with a surge of mostly Haitian immigrants along the Texas border.
ABC News has learned Border Patrol agents warned the administration months ago that Del Rio could be overwhelmed. The White House is now reportedly searching for a private contractor to operate a migrant detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. But overnight, the Department of Homeland Security pushing back on that report, tweeting the agency will not send Haitian nationals to Guantanamo Bay. Criticism is also mounting after agents were seen on horseback appearing to use reins as whips against migrants. Those agents have now been placed on administrative duty pending an investigation.
ABC's Phil Lipoff reporting.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.